You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Welcome into First Take on a Feel Good Friday. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Gentlemen, you know where I am starting. The Lakers cannot catch a break. Anthony Davis missed 2 months with a calf and an Achilles injury. He led the Lakers to a big win over the Denver Nuggets on Monday. Now, without LeBron, but he suffered another setback Thursday. Early in the first against the Clippers, he went up for a three, fell back awkwardly, stayed in for a few minutes, then ultimately left the game with back spasms. But it appears he hurt his ankle when he fell. Now, we also heard LeBron James say earlier this week he's not 100% and doesn't know if he ever will be. He's out with a high ankle sprain, expected back next week. Stephen A., how far can LeBron and Anthony Davis take the Lakers?
I'm scared right now. I'm scared for the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to put the basketball world on official notice. I don't even know if the Lakers are getting past the play-in game.
What?
I don't even know if the Lakers are playing the play-in game.
Wow.
They don't look good. They don't look good. They don't look good at all. Anthony Davis, listen, we all know when healthy, the guy is all world. But everything that can happen seems to happen to him. It was his calf injury. Then it looked like it was his ankle last night, early in the first quarter, and then after that we hear that it's back spasms, for crying out loud. LeBron James comes back, he plays, he says he'll never be 100% again. I believe that's hyperbole. I don't believe it for 1 second, but he could be talking about, I'm not going to be 100% again this season. I'm looking at the fact that Rondo is no longer there. He's on the other sideline with the Clippers. Even though Dennis Schroeder, I mean, the bottom line is they're better offensively with him on the court, but porous defensively. When he's on the court, they're better without him defensively. Kyle Kuzma, it's like bipolar disorder, for crying out loud. He's scoring 1 minute. The next thing you know, he disappears for three quarters. I'm very concerned about the Los Angeles Lakers from that standpoint alone. But then when you look at the rest of the Western Conference, I mean, what is there to say? Utah, Phoenix, the LA Clippers, the Denver Nuggets, Portland, you can't sleep on them. Dallas, you can't sleep on them. With Luka averaging 29, 9, and 8, I mean, my God, there are reasons to be concerned about the Los Angeles Lakers. And right now, I am officially in panic mode that the Lakers might not even make it out of the damn play-in game.
Wow, the defending champs. Max, where are you on this?
It is panic time in L.A., but I don't think it's because of the play-in game, Stephen A., because the odds that they would lose 3.5 games in the standings are slim. So if they do play in the play-in, it will be play-in games, plural. And I don't believe if they were to lose to the Trailblazers or the Warriors, whoever they'd have to play in that first game, that they would then also lose to either the Grizzlies or the Spurs, whoever they'd have to play in that second game. So I think they will be, I'm confident in saying, if LeBron and AD are playing, they will absolutely be in the playoffs. But here's the thing, guys, and this is why it's panic mode. This is why it's panic time. I don't see how they get out of the first round right now. And I'm a Lakers fan. How do they get out of the first round? Because if they do play a play-in or two in order to even get there, or even if they don't, let's say they hold on to the seed they are presently holding on to, they play the Clippers in the first round? Like, if they play in the play-in, depending on where they wind up, 7 or 8, they're either playing the Jazz or the Suns in the first round. Those teams have chemistry. They're in lockstep. You're going to just throw everybody together and beat one of those teams? And don't let it be the Clippers. I think that's the worst matchup, Stephen A. Kawhi, they've been load managing again. Maybe not to the extent that they once did, but they're load managing again. He can't play full quarters. In fact, Ty Lue is complaining about how it's messing up rotations and stuff. But he'll be ready. And Paul George will be looking for redemption. And they got Rondo and everyone else you just mentioned. How are the Lakers, who don't have Schroeder until the end of the year, who are even playing without Talen Horton-Tucker? I mean, talk to Lakers, they'll tell you, we didn't have a point guard or anything resembling a point guard. No LeBron, no Schroeder, no THT. AD goes down, obviously an ankle. No, back spasms. What? How are the Lakers going to get out of the first round? The first round, that's what I want to know.
Well, listen, that's a reason to be concerned. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't wish for that, though, because that should make us all sick to our stomach. The fact of the matter is that we are owed an encounter between the Lakers and the Clippers with a conference title on the line. And the person that owes us that most is Kawhi Leonard. He is the face of the franchise. He is the star. He is the two-time NBA champion, the two-time NBA Finals MVP. You know what? He came to L.A. with the crown dangling from his convertible, from the mirror on his convertible, driving down the highway in L.A.
He is talking from about, California. LeBron's from Cleveland.
I understand all of that, but he or came Akron. There as a champion, basically saying it's a new sheriff in town. Mm-hmm. That was his attitude towards LeBron, who hadn't made the playoffs in his first year as a Los Angeles Laker. So LeBron shows up last year. They get through the first round, the second round. They are waiting for the Clippers in the conference finals, and the Clippers had a 3-1 lead and folded like a cheap tent. Bottom line is that Kawhi owes us this encounter. The problem is the Clippers are living up to their end of the bargain. The Lakers at this particular moment in time, albeit due to health reasons, that is not the case. And I think that's a damn shame. By the way, as an aside,
yeah.
Can we stop this noise, these people questioning, asking the coach in the press conference, stuff like that? LeBron James wasn't sitting on the bench. He's in his 18th season. He's 36 years of age. He's a reigning defending champion. When healthy, the brother doesn't take days off. He doesn't miss games. And people are sweating the fact that he wasn't sitting on a bench in street clothes. Grow the hell up and make sure we start asking coaches some sensible questions. I don't give a damn where LeBron is. I don't care if he's on Rodeo. I don't care if he's at Venice Beach chilling. I don't care if he's at a massage parlor for crying out.
Okay.
I can care less where he's at.
Well,
as long as the brother is ready to play. As long as he's there when it's time to play, I'm good with it.
Max, you did hear me just say that he's going to be back next week, right? I just want to make sure you both heard that.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I think those questions are pertinent. I think they were good questions. And I think
the
answers are interesting. Where's LeBron? Is it a medical reason? He said, no, he's just not here. That's two games. Now, we may look into that, and I might have even followed up. Coach, is that because the feeling is he needs to do everything in his power to get back physically? Why isn't he here, right? Like that sort of thing. But I do think it's relevant, and I'll tell you why. The Lakers, Stephen A., need obviously LeBron or AD, or there's no chance for a championship or even to get out of the West. But I want to get back to the Clippers. You just said the Clippers owe us that matchup, and you're right. And I think the Clippers know it too. And who's the key on the Clippers? You keep focusing on Kawhi. Sure, he's the number one guy. He's the main guy. He's the guy who challenged LeBron. But except for Game 7, I don't give him a pass for that against Denver. Fourth quarter, Game 7, you got to show up. He almost always does. Not that game.
Yes.
It's Ooh. Paul George who needs to step up, and everyone knows it. The Clippers are loaded. In fact, when I look at the Western Conference, the team I think that could give the healthy Nets big three the best run is these Clippers. It's these Clippers. If Paul George steps up, I think he's going to be totally motivated to do that. I don't see how the Lakers beat this Clippers team in their current condition.
I'm sick of people getting on my man Paul George. I got to say this once and for all. Paul George has had games in the postseason, including Game 7 last year against Denver in the conference semifinals. He's had the game that Kendrick Perkins brought up when he was in Oklahoma City with Westbrook against Utah when he scored 5 points in a Game 6 or Game 5. I think it was Game 6, okay? I get all of that. But we act like Paul George never showed up for a game in the postseason. Paul George has had plenty of good games in the postseason. A Game 7 is where your money dude is supposed to show up. Your money dude. You know, in case Paul George doesn't show up, Paul George is clearly the number two on the Los Angeles Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is number one. He's the dude that I'm looking at for a Game 7.
When Jordan lost to the defending champion Pistons way back in the day, why was that because of? Because in Game 7, Scottie Pippen, second banana, had a migraine, played 40 minutes, scored, 2 points?
That was before
That's
they ever
the
won
point.
A championship, Max.
Kawhi, yeah, but they
that
were going to win the
championship.
If Pippen would have showed up, they would have won it that year. And he had a migraine.
You didn't
Paul
know
George
that?
Paul George can't have any migraines.
That's a Pippen. That's
All
a
right,
Pippen.
Guys, we got other big stories we need to get to. Hold that thought. We're going to have more on LeBron a little bit later because someone on this show says LeBron James is on the decline and he's going to have to answer for
it. It ain't me.
Oh.
I ain't say that.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, please. Everybody
other people
knows.
Are joining. He didn't say a cliff.
He said it.
All right. The Lakers are 1-7 versus the top three teams in the West. Let's get to the other big story. Aaron Rodgers, the saga continues. He's still adamant that he wants a trade out of Green Bay, and it felt as though a separation was imminent, but not so fast, says his teammate of 9 years, John Kuhn, who's spoken directly to Aaron, stating that Rodgers is torn, but he's 70 to 75% that he'll be back. Former Packers receiver James Jones echoing that sentiment on NFL Network.
I talk to him a lot, and it has nothing to do about getting the GM fired. It has nothing to do about getting a new contract and getting money. I think it's fixable, but you better believe he wants to win more championships, and you better believe that he wants to do it in Green Bay.
All right, Max, you're up first. Where should Rodgers want to go?
Okay, I've been telling you for about a week now. He should want to go to Cleveland if we're just talking about football. But now we're expanding the question, right? We're talking about everything, the market, the conference, the football of it all. And the answer is the Miami Dolphins, all things considered. First of all, I don't think Green Bay is going to trade him in the NFC. You don't want to see, as Stephen A. would say, that bad man in the playoffs, right? So I'm starting to look at the AFC. And then I look at market. Miami is a cosmopolitan, international market. It's one of the sexiest markets in all the sports leagues. Who doesn't want to live and play in Miami? One. Two, they are ascending. They won 10 games last year. And Stephen A., they did it with an offensive line that was better than the year before, but they did not rest on their laurels. You could argue the Dolphins had the best draft in the NFL. They brought in a top-flight offensive lineman. They brought in maybe the top-flight pass rusher in the league. So when you and we know about the weapon they brought in on offense in Jalen Waddle. Even with Tua Tagovailoa, they are live, and he's a second-year quarterback who has not wowed yet. With Aaron Rodgers, you pencil them in as among the Super Bowl favorites. Maybe I think the Browns would be even better with Rodgers, but the Dolphins would be live to win the Super Bowl this upcoming season, and we're talking about Miami. They have the assets to get the deal done, too.
Live to win a Super Bowl with Miami. He also likes Cleveland. Stephen A., where are you?
Believe it or not, I am with the Washington football team.
Wow.
Even though it's absolutely disgraceful that they don't have a name. I love all the moves that they've made on the executive level with Jason Wright and others, Julie Donaldson and others, and the football team from a defensive standpoint, they're elite as far as I'm concerned, Coach Ron Rivera. I get all of that. But to me, the Washington football team, you need a name, get a name. Outside of that, I'm going to tell you, this might be the perfect landing spot. And I'll take into consideration San Francisco as well, but I'm at the Washington football team. McLaurin can ball. We know that. McKissick, he can ball a little bit as well. Okay. Logan Thomas, he can ball a little bit from the receiver spot. They can upgrade there as well. Antonio Gibson can run the football. Their defense is big time. They're in the NFC least. So by default, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is it would be in the division would guarantee them a division title.
Cowboys are looking pretty good this year.
Whatever. The black cat will find them. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers will be that black cat. If Aaron Rodgers signed his name on the dotted line to be a member of the Washington football team today, within the hour, it would be a foregone conclusion. Dallas ain't winning the division. It'll be the Washington football team, okay? Because they got a defense, and you got a magician on the offensive side of the ball that can get it done. And we're talking about a franchise. Since they won the Super Bowl in 1991, that is 30 years, the Washington football team has got three playoff victories. Three playoff victories in 30 years. You need three to win a Super Bowl in 1 year. They got three playoff victories in 30 years. You talk about an owner starving. Let's think about this for a second here. You're in Green Bay. It's cold there. Obviously, the winters are disastrous. We understand not much of a social life, whatever. I can assure you, in the nation's capital, that is not an issue. That is not an issue.
For you.
That's number one. That is number one. Number two, Daniel Snyder. I mean, Dan Snyder would do anything for Aaron Rodgers. If he did anything for RG3, could you imagine what he would do for Aaron Rodgers? The way that Aaron Rodgers is spreading. I'm not praising him. What I'm saying is the way Aaron Rodgers reportedly is spreaded over the treatment accorded to him in Green Bay. Dan Snyder is the antithesis of that. Unfortunately, he fawns over people who are unworthy. So imagine how he would treat Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you talk about the closest thing to a god in the nation's capital,
by the
it
way,
would be
Molly,
Aaron Rodgers.
I'd say yes.
There are worse places. There are worse places for Rodgers to go than Washington. I put them top five, maybe fifth or sixth best destination for him for some of the reasons Stephen A. points out. But Stephen A., the Miami Dolphins, because they have the undefeated season, 72, because of Dan Marino, they have a national following. That's a national team. And let me ask you something else. You
think they got more of a following than the Washington football team?
You hypocrite. You, Stephen A. Smith, you talk about that bad man. You're so concerned for his well-being. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, put yourself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes. Now you can choose where you go. Stephen A. Smith, I lived in D.C. D.C.'s a nice place. Stephen A. Smith would choose D.C. over Miami.
No. Uh-huh. But I could afford to go to South Beach when I want to, especially if I got an owner like Daniel Snyder that'll put me on a private jet anytime I want to. I'm not worried about that, so you're wrong. Yeah. That's number one.
I'll be living in Miami.
Wrong, number one. Number two, let's take into account if he were to go to Miami, you got Bill Belichick, okay, and the Buffalo Bills to consider in your own division. You got Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cleveland in the AFC North.
They
you got Tennessee
them.
In the South.
Yep.
Okay? Excuse me. You got Patrick Mahomes and those boys. It'll be a problem.
That's
if
a
you
matchup.
Go to the NFC East, I mean, you could listen, he could take a deep breath to be in the playoffs.
Okay. Hold that thought with your yoga breath. Let me bring in someone who played with Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl champion. A yoga breath, a deep breath.
I don't know.
You've never done yoga? You're so L.A. now. I figured you'd be all over that. Jeff Saturday, do I have you? Please, can you please help this group of misfits right now? So you heard Max. He's on the Miami tip, and then he also said the Cleveland Browns. And now Stephen A. is with the Washington football team. Where should Aaron Rodgers want to go?
San Francisco, too.
Well, let me say this. This has been one of the most entertaining conversations I've heard in a while. And, Molly, my favorite part is the yoga breath to settle them down. So as I'm going through this, here's the problem with all of it, fellas. Anywhere he goes, they're better. Anywhere he goes, they're better. So whether you're talking about Miami and what he could do in Miami, could he make Brian Flores and that football team a contender immediately? Absolutely he would and could. Because when you look at what they have, their offensive line is ascending. It's still not where it needs to be for Aaron Rodgers. He has to continue to grow there and get better there. But if you're looking at to Stephen A.'s point about the Washington football team, Rivera just said recently he wants to go kind of without the QB at first to kind of build his roster, get his roster where he thinks it is. He wants to build it inside out, right? Offensive line needs to catch up to the defensive line and all those type of opportunities. When I look at Aaron Rodgers, though, I think Miami and Denver are the two places I think would be the best fits right now. And why would I say Denver? I think they just added Williams in the draft from North Carolina. They got Gordon. You think about Sutton. You think about Judy. You have weapons on the outside. You have a tight end. You have all the – now, their offensive line is very similar, in my opinion, to where Miami is. Both of those have to get better for Aaron Rodgers to continue to produce. But the truth of the matter is, wherever he goes – that team is going to become
Jeff,
a contender right away because of what he brings to it.
Jeff, I think, like, I'd say Cleveland, they'd win the Super Bowl if they had Aaron Rodgers. Talk about the offensive line. But
yes.
Miami was much better year over year on the O-line, and they just took two O-linemen, one in the first round, right? And they got better on the edge, and they just won 10 games. And they brought in Jalen freaking Waddle. Could you, like, they will be better without Aaron Rodgers probably this season by maybe a game or two. That puts them squarely in double digits. You add Aaron Rodgers to that team? So I'm thinking of, you know, Cleveland is not the market Miami is. Taking everything into consideration, he's probably heading to the Broncos from everything we hear, right? But Miami, if I were Aaron Rodgers, would be where I would want to go.
Listen, I'm not going to knock
only
anybody.
Issue, Max, and,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I just said the only issue with it is I get the double-digit wins last year. New England is going to be better, right, with the opt-back, you know, with the opt-outs, all those kind of things. And then what they did in the draft, they're going to be a better football team this year. So when you're talking about the NFC East versus the AFC East, in my opinion, it would be easier to get where you want to go with all that you're saying, all being considered, to your point with Cleveland, Miami, and the Washington football team, your route is much easier going through Washington than it would be with any of those other organizations.
No question. We'll leave it on that note. Clearly no love on the show for Tua or Baker, but that's discussions for another day.
That's
Jeff Saturday. Oh, okay. Jeff, did you have anything else you wanted to add here?
No, all good.
I will. Listen, this is the part that disappoints me. And you know, Jeff, I listened to your little soliloquy right there, Jeff Saturday. You know you're my brother. I love you. But you think you try to be slick here. First of all, don't go Max Kellerman on us. The question initially was, where should Rodgers want to go? And here you are critiquing our selection, okay? Let me tell you something, Jeff, all right?
Oh.
The objective is to get in the postseason and to have a chance, right? The second he lands in the nation's capital, he in the playoffs. Who's going to stand in his way? I mean, the Eagles? The Giants, really? Daniel Jones? Who's going to stand in his way?
They ran 25th in points.
I know everybody getting caught up in the Dallas Cowboys and all of that stuff.
Listen.
Who's going to stop them?
Let me say this. Stephen A., if you want to know where his best opportunity to win the Super Bowl next year would be, San Francisco. Go back to Cali. If you want to get real, San Fran will give him the best opportunity to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so what you giving up for? So what you giving up for?
That's what I would say he would be.
I give up the farm for him. I give up everything for him, including Trey Lance. What would you do?
Yep. I would, too. I'd give up Lance and somebody else to get Aaron Rodgers in my building. Ain't no doubt.
And two first-round picks.
I'm just checking. I was wondering about you for a second.
Think it's smart to give up Lance?
Hell yeah.
Jeff, you heard Stephen A. Don't do a Max Kellerman, meaning don't be smart and handsome. That's the first thing. Okay.
I'm not going to comment about your looks. I'm not going to comment about your look.
Yeah.
You're a good-looking dude.
Well, I mean,
it's the same.
Look at
you know who Max is? You know who Max is? Max is Zoolander. That's what I'm going to call Max from now on, Zoolander.
Max looks like Aaron Rodgers.
Remember when Will Ferrell said in Zoolander, same look?
Yeah.
Same look.
Yeah.
That's Max Kellerman. Same look.
Who
are you, Hansel? Hey, listen, Molly, real quick, I want to say, I'm not down. I don't think anyone's down on Baker or Tua. Baker's good and has a chance to be better. Tua has a chance to be good. The odds that anyone is ever nearly as good as Aaron Rodgers is today is slim. Almost no one's ever been as good as Rodgers is right now. It's no knock against the other guys.
Absolutely. Fair enough. All right. Jeff's going to be back.
That's breaking news by Max Kellerman right there.
God.
That's breaking news. Max told us something we didn't know, Jeff. I mean, breaking news. Wow. Anybody can be Aaron Rodgers.
Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time, guy.
When I look in the mirror, I have a Zoolander mirror face. It's very embarrassing. That's one thing. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Let's run through the latest around the association. Time for quick takes. Let's go. Stephen A., how dangerous are the Warriors in the play-in?
They are incredibly dangerous because they have the guy that is the greatest shooter God ever created and the guy that I believe is playing the best basketball of anybody in the NBA right now is Steph Curry. At any given moment, he can drop 50 and win a game for you. That's why they're dangerous.
Steph Curry with the shot. Max, can the Wizards make noise in the play-in?
Oh, yeah, of course. With a backcourt like that, Bradley Beal's pushing Steph Curry for the scoring title right now. Just dropped, what, 42 the other night? And Westbrook is as hot as anyone in the league. The play-in, yes. But beyond that, they'd have to play. If they can only get an eighth seed, they'd have to play Milwaukee, Philadelphia, or Brooklyn. So they're going out in the first round. But, yeah, they can make noise in the play-in.
Stephen A., the Brooklyn Nets have lost four straight. How concerned are you?
Well, there's reason to be concerned because health is an issue in terms of James Harden. My attitude, however, is that as long as they have Kevin Durant, they're going to be just fine. As long as they have Kevin Durant and one or the other, they're going to be fine. They have the big three. Obviously, they're unstoppable. But I think Kevin Durant is the X factor because there is no answer for him no matter where you turn. I don't care if it's Milwaukee. I don't give a damn about a block shot that the Greek Freak recorded against him on a pull-up jumper late in the game when they played each other last week. Please, this is Kevin Durant that we're talking about. KD Trey, who I believe is the most unstoppable offensive force. Him and Steph Curry is the greatest shooter.
Yeah.
But Kevin Durant, 6'11", 7'6", wingspan, there's no answer for him come postseason time. And as long as he has Kyrie or James Harden, obviously I still consider them the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference because I think Kevin Durant is that lethal. Without him, Brooklyn doesn't have a chance. They might not even make the conference finals.
Fair enough. Max, let me ask you this. Obviously, we haven't seen James Harden since April 5th. He's been dealing with that hamstring injury, but he says that he's very confident he's going to be back before the playoffs. So who is more important to the Nets in this playoff run? Is it Harden or is it KD? The Nets
James
championship,
Harden, it's
rather.
Not close. Guys, like look at the receipts. Harden showed up on the team. No continuity, no nothing, not even in shape. A walking triple-double with 30 points in wins, just with KD, no Kyrie, right? Then KD goes down, just Kyrie. He scorches the league. Then Kyrie misses games, just James Harden he beats teams. And what have they been like without him? What have they been like without him? By the way, they're losing every game now. And Kyrie and KD are having 30-point games each on the same night, and they're losing. James Harden is by far the most important player on that team. And I'm telling you this right now, Stephen A. With him, nobody goes seven games with them in the East or the West if they're all healthy. Without James Harden, they won't even make the conference finals. No James Harden. I'm telling you right now, the conference finals is Philly-Milwaukee.
I will say this. I slightly disagree with that. I do believe that Philly and Milwaukee, especially Milwaukee, would have a chance to push them, fully loaded, would still have a chance to push them to a seven-game series. I'm not picking anybody to beat them, no one to beat them, but I do think they'd have a chance to push it to a seven-game series. If you play some defense, which they do, and you can be dominant in the post area, which they can be, and you force them to beat you strictly with perimeter play, Brooklyn is going to beat you in a best 4 out of 7. But it is plausible that at least two of those games, they won't be hitting on all cylinders from the perimeter. And at least one game, even while they're hitting all cylinders from the perimeter, that you can steal a game from them. So I think it's entirely possible that Milwaukee, considering what they bring to the forefront defensively in terms of their size, their defensive prowess, I think the acquisitions of Jrue Holiday along with P.J. Tucker are huge pickups. I think Chris Middleton will be ready to be that secondary or third option. And obviously the Greek Freak. He's not a perimeter shooter, doesn't need to be a perimeter shooter, but he has to elevate his level of defensive play. And Budenholzer's
got to make sure they can attack. But who's more important? So he said Harden. Who's more important?
To me, I've said it from day one. I'll never change. It's all about KD. KD.
Even though with Harden they win 80% of their games.
It doesn't matter. This is not the playoffs. If KD is ready, come playoff time, okay, you're talking about a championship. If KD ain't ready, you ain't even talking about a berth in the finals.
No, I don't feel that way.
Max?
I don't feel that way. I think with Harden and Kyrie have a chance maybe to get to the conference finals without KD.
You got a chance.
We saw how far Harden could take a Rockets team that was totally undermanned against KD with Steph and Clay and Dre and everyone came that close to beating them, a fully loaded Warriors team. Because, and by the way, CP3 couldn't even play most of that game because they had James Harden. And the basketball that James Harden has been playing this year. Stephen A., you talk about, like, if you can defend, It doesn't matter. You can't defend the Nets because they'll pass up a good shot for a great shot because James Harden is the brains behind the operation. D'Antoni sitting on the bench. He is orchestrating an offense, and he has weapons named KD and Kyrie. Don't let their fourth option, Joe Harris, get open. He's the best shooter on the team. Resistance is futile. There is nothing you can do against that Nets offense if they're all healthy.
Yeah, but that shows your lack of knowledge about basketball, because even when there is nothing that you can do, sometimes you beat yourself because it just ain't your day. Things happen.
That ain't gonna happen.
What I'm saying, again, it's not going to happen in terms of losing a series if they're fully loaded. But I'm saying there are games in that series they could lose. Now you take KD away from the equation, and you're talking about the size. You're talking about play slowing up in postseason time. You're talking about being dominant on the interior, relegating you to being perimeter players. You're talking about officiating, which unfortunately has played a role on far too many occasions. Well, you know how I feel. I feel officiating played a role in LeBron capturing the championship in Cleveland. Don't get me started with that. So the point is that
why
all
can't
of these
Kyrie
things,
and KD
watching
win?
Basketball the way that I have, all of these things are very, very plausible. Mm-hmm. If the Nets are fully loaded, they win in the chip.
Stephen
without
A.
KD, it ain't happening.
Why can't they win without Harden? Look at the record. I know you said, I'm with you. Regular season, postseason, there's a difference. Playoffs, there's a difference. But they lose almost every game this dude doesn't play. And they win, or they're 500 without him. Less than 500 now. They almost win every game he plays.
Well, you got to remember, KD missed some of those games, too. Kyrie missed some of those games.
No, what I'm saying is...
I mean, it wasn't just Harden that's been gone. KD got hurt,
all three of them have only been on the court about 10 times together.
When Harden plays, it doesn't matter who misses, including KD and Kyrie. They win almost all the time.
And Max, you don't get to make that argument when you decried how the dude performed in the postseason compared to the regular season. The fact of the matter is, we'll see what we see. We know Harden can ball. We know he's a superstar. But the bottom line is, when you look at the Eastern Conference and you consider the fact that play is going to slow down and defensive prowess and what you can do on the interior may matter, I think they need KD in order to be big-time relevant in the conference, meaning to get to the conference finals. They need KD to pull that off.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And then there's this, Stephen A. New Baltimore Ravens offensive lineman Alejandro Villanueva says he's looking forward to playing his former team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, while also throwing some shade toward former teammate Juju Smith-Schuster. Villanueva, talk to me.
For us as an offensive line in Pittsburgh last year, it was incredibly challenging that we knew we had to go with these game plans that involve passing the ball potentially the entire game. And so the mentality, you know, when you have a balanced offense or when you run the ball, it's obviously better for the offensive line. I'm assuming it's not as fun for the wide receivers because they're not getting all the catches. They're making the TikToks and they're having fun on their social media.
He totally just called him out for TikTok routines on the field, and I'm not mad at it. Stephen A., this is your squad. I'll start with you here. Fair or foul?
It was absolutely fair. And I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. I'm a Kevin Colbert fan. I've been diehard Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the only football team that I've ever rooted for, okay? Outside of, I'm a native New Yorker, of course. But here's the deal. The Pittsburgh Steelers, and I love Mike Tomlin. I'm glad James Conner is gone. Their running game has been atrocious. An absolute atrocity. An abomination. Considering that this is the Steelers. This is a team that became famous. It wasn't just because of the Steel Curtain. It wasn't because of Lynn Swann and John Stallworth and Terry Bradshaw. It was also because of Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. And years later, who do you have? You have guys like Le'Veon Bell running the football. How about the bus, Jerome Bettis, who was just on the air with us a few days ago.
Sure was.
Before Le'Veon Bell. And then you give us James Conner. And because you got James Conner, who obviously is a great story and a solid player, I wish him nothing but the best, but he was not the answer for the Pittsburgh Steelers with their running game. So what do? You have Big Ben Roethlisberger, fresh off of elbow surgery, throwing the ball 608 times. 608 times. Villanueva's right. You don't do that to an offensive line. You don't get to run block. You don't get to push forward. You've got to retreat and protect the quarterback. 608 pass attempts. That's what they did. Okay, everybody and their mother knew that you was going to throw the football all day, every day. That's not an ideal position for an offensive line to be in. Now, obviously,
especially
they
weren't great. Especially when your quarterback's not a spring chicken, either for Big Ben.
Yeah, they weren't great. But here's the other side to it, Molly. You got to look out for them, too. You got to look out for them, too. He's an offensive lineman. He knows. He's experienced. He would know what you need. You can't just ask him to retreat and protect the quarterback who's a relatively stationary target, who can't shrug off defenders the way that he used to. That's the position that he was in as an offensive lineman. It's the position the Steelers were in, and that's why they tanked at the end of the season. So I appreciate what he said, because now that they drafted Najee Harris, that ain't going to be a problem moving forward. They're going to run that damn football with that brother.
Max loves TikTok. Max?
You're wrong. It was foul. Let me start by saying I respect Villanueva and everything he's done in his career. You know, like, he never gave up on himself, switched positions, whatever he had to do, and made the Pro Bowl more than once. Hats off to him. But this is ridiculous. And I'll tell you why it's ridiculous. It's not that, well, the Steelers didn't run the ball enough. There's a reason they didn't run it enough. It's the same reason Ben Roethlisberger had to get the ball out so quick. And what was that reason? The offensive line couldn't protect Roethlisberger very, very well, and they couldn't block for the run at all. You think Mike Tomlin doesn't want to run the ball? Stephen A., what do I always talk about? And I know you do, too. When I was sold on Tomlin as head coach, first press conference, run the ball, stop the run, Steelers football. I said, oh, this dude. Because I'm a closet Steelers fan. I grew up when the Giants stunk. You're out of market team. You either rooted for the Cowboys or the Steelers in my day if your in-market team wasn't good. If you were a real person, you rooted for the Steelers. And if you didn't have a soul, you rooted for the Cowboys, right? So I rooted for the Steelers. And the point is, I love that from Tomlin. I think he wants to do that when possible, but not if the offensive line can't play. And then think about this, to make it worse, what Villanueva is saying. He's taking a shot at Juju Smith-Schuster like, it's not fun for those guys. I know if you don't run a lot of passing plays. Hold up, time out. But Villanueva's sitting there saying, oh, the reason we couldn't do better is because it was no fun for us when we knew that they were always going to throw the ball. We're going to run it.
That's not what he's saying.
No, but when you look at it, it is, Stephen A. Tom, the problem with the Steelers is since the offensive line wasn't good enough, the lack of a running game compounded the issue. Defenses could play up. Roethlisberger wasn't getting the ball down the field. Receivers didn't have time to get down there. And they were playing up on the run, and they didn't block for the run very well. How's the offensive lineman turning around and blaming a receiver for that?
Max Kellerman, if you are an offensive lineman and you don't get to run block at all because your team gave you no running game, and every single play practically you got to step back and you got to drop back and pass block for a stationary target, a stationary target. That makes your job exponentially harder. You're frowned upon because you're looked upon as somebody that's really not protecting the quarterback when the system itself the coaches that's coaching it, the personnel that the GM provided you to, and all the things that are transpiring schematically work to your disadvantage. The Pittsburgh Steelers threw the football twice as many times, damn near, as they ran it.
Hold up.
That's a problem.
Hold up. So are we impugning Mike Tomlin's football common sense? Do you think Coach Tomlin knows you don't need to establish the run? You think Mike Tomlin just forgot about the run game?
He's dealing. I apologize. Why am I doing the show with you? Are you Dear Abby now? Are you dear? Is that
Dear
what you
Abby,
are?
You're
what
there the saying oh, Villanueva was right
football.
About it.
Time out. Molly, where's the evidence? Do I need to call up the clip where Max talks about how much he loves Mike Tomlin because Mike Tomlin in his introductory press conference,
his favorite coach.
As his introductory press conference, as the head coach of the Steelers said, what do you do? Run the ball, stop the
right.
run. Well, the Steelers have had
Max.
The Steelers have had one of the worst two rushing attacks in football
the last three consecutive years. So why do you think that is? Because Mike Tomlin doesn't want to run the ball at all? Or is
because they don't have the personnel to run it, about what
the offensive line is capable of? When you can't run the ball, it's not the coach and it's not the offense, it's not the running back. It's the O-line not run blocking well enough.
So that's why James Conner didn't look anywhere close to Le'Veon Bell. It was strictly the offensive line. It wasn't James Conner.
Well,
if James Conner,
year to year, one year looks like a B-plus and the next year looks like a C-minus. No, I don't think it's because James Conner forgot
like a
B-plus.
Maybe a B-minus.
A B to a D, whatever. The point is, if Villanueva is talking about our game plan is the reason we couldn't block from the run, that is impugning the football IQ of Mike Tomlin or his belief in some balance with the run.
IQ. You're switching it. You're changing the narrative. It doesn't work with me.
Well, who makes the
fact the
game
of
plan?
The matter is, I'm not questioning the greatness of Mike Tomlin, but that doesn't mean everything he does is great. And when it comes to developing a running game with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the last 3 years, they've been one of the worst rushing attacks of football.
Sure, he could do
better. In the end, that's what you got to look at.